kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me as usual, CJ. CJ, how you doing?
Still have food poisoning.
Do you?
Yep.
I didn't know that you had food poisoning.
I haven't been wanting to do anything, because I've been extremely sick, and I had to work today.
Are you making poopies?
A very many. That's why I haven't eaten today, because I don't want to have to go to the bathroom.
Good times. Well, to keep it classy, we are joined by a fantastic guest on this episode. Scott, I don't know your last name.
Smith. The most common fucking name ever.
Oh, wow. Scott Smith, also known as Carnage or Cafornaforge, as I like to...
Cafornaforge. How's it going?
How the hell are you, man?
Pretty good, man. How you guys doing today?
Oh, I am stressed as all fuck.
Yeah, technology sometimes, I know.
So if I sound any different this episode, the way I normally record the show is Chris, when he was starting to like do less and less with the show, he gave me something called an M box, an M audio box, which I guess stands for mixer box. I don't fucking know. But hooks up through USB, I run the mic into there. I get my headphone audio and my speaker audio out through there, and Ashley's texting me, so that's going off. But I recently did a minor upgrade to my computer. I gave it some more RAM. I gave it a new video card, and I don't know if that's causing issues with the M-Box or what, but anytime I would use that box, all my audio is like super distorted, super crackly. And even on Skype, like, apparently my voice was a couple of octaves lower.
Yeah, oh, well. It was pretty fucking deep.
See, I personally didn't notice it, because you guys do record the show all the time. I listen from, you know, I listen from the stream, and I didn't notice the difference that much. But
do you notice the difference now that it's like...
Well... Maybe I don't
sound like this anymore.
Exactly. Your balls finally dropped, Joe.
Hey there, buddy. How you doing?
Yeah,
you got iron balls, iron cryptoballs.
Something was majorly fucked up. So I now instead have the audio running directly from like the headphone jack on my computer, and instead of my awesome little $100 blue microphone, I'm using like a technically it was free. Rock Band 4 Mad Cats microphone that I got fucking mail in offer.
Which through Skype sounds shockingly similar but for that price.
I don't know like when it's all said and done how well this episode is going to sound, but
it's going to be the worst episode in history.
If you've heard some of our early shows, haven't you?
I haven't heard like anything before like 100 and
Man, you need to go back to like the single digit episodes and listen to that shit, because we used to record with a cell phone sitting in the middle of a table.
Shit. Oh my god. Nice. No, I know the
ghetto style.
Dude, it was so bad.
Epitome of having awful audio for the first couple things.
It was so bad.
Back when we had power channel. It was audio is interesting mistress.
Let's just say I had a Mad Cats controller on the N64, and it broke in a week. So I don't know. Maybe the microphone quality will be better than that. Hopefully.
Well, the mic had to be good because it was for Rock Band.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But they ain't dicking around with no Rock Band, even though Mad Cats is dead now, isn't it?
What a stressful night. We're starting this show a good hour later than we were planned. Carnage, I have no idea if you still tweeted out about the show or not.
Yeah, I actually just tweeted now, so... That's cool. No problem.
I don't fucking know what to do.
It's interesting. It's delayed me another hour of eating for today.
Well, you've been shitting your brains out anyway, so that doesn't matter.
I'm starving.
Oh, my God. I might as well. Fuck it. I'll just tweet out now during the show. Hey, we're live with
pretty much what I did.
I'm sure it sounds like shit. Typos and all. I don't give a fuck. That's where I'm at right now. I really don't give a fuck, right?
It's just like, do it! Live. We're doing it live.
So, Carnage, welcome to the show. It's good to have you join us.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
You've lurked in our chat room on and off for a couple of months now. It's always good seeing you there, and we've been trying to get you on the show, and fucking here you are.
Yeah, finally. I know you've offered many times, and I've been here and there busy with other shit, but, that's good timing, so... At least it worked good today with the.
It was probably your fault.
Probably
blame God
damn it, Carnage.
Well, at least we got through the audio issues for now, right?
Who knows?
Hopefully,
I won't know until I'm done editing the show tomorrow night. So
we'll find out that all of this is completely unusable, and we have to record tomorrow anyway.
Oh, that would suck.
Like I said, I'm not some uptight dude. I'm like, oh, we're late. Nope, we can't start, dude. Sorry, I'm leaving. Too good for your show.
Eternal saying that you're trying to steal her guest spot. It's okay. She'll be on later anyway. She's going to be joining us for some reviews later on. But right now, it's all about you, Carnage. For the people who don't know you, Mr. Scott Smith, who are you and why are you on our show?
I have no fucking idea why you invited me on my show. No, but let's see. I'm here to talk about Iron Cryptical. Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, me and Joe can just go on about raving about that game while CJ eats, right?
Yeah, I'll just leave. Peace.
No, but I probably have
enough time to take a shit and eat.
Maybe.
I play a lot of Xbox games like you guys, and... I do a lot with the ID community, as you guys as well do, with indie games, and stream a lot of stuff on my channel on Twitch.
What are you talking about? We only play Call of Duty on the show.
Maybe do some Mixer as well. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We are live on Mixer. We love our Mixer here.
Yeah. I love Mixer and Twitch. Let's just put it that way.
Both. It's good stuff.
We is a strong term to define the group of people that like Mixer.
Oh man, I'm against the odds now.
I'm honestly wondering how many people are going to show up. You were talking about doing this at 10:30. It is now 11:30, so we're officially an hour late. Oh my god, this show is such a shit show right now.
You could say officially if we hadn't already started the show.
You know how many times I've had issues trying to go live with stuff with the apps and whatnot?
We'll do a live. Fuck it. Fucking thing sucks.
Even famous people have problems sometimes.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I'm the next PewDiePie. That's how famous I am. No, fuck that.
Oh god.
Well, PewDiePie doesn't stream, I don't think.
No, he just gets people to do racist shit for $5.
Huh, we're still talking about that, eh? I thought that died forever ago.
Yeah, that's all I could...
I haven't heard anybody reference that in so fucking long.
It's the last thing I remember him doing. And then
he's kind of...
I think his whole deleting his channel thing was after that, too. Where it was like, I'm going to delete my channel at 500 million whatevers.
Yeah, he just wanted more attention. Like, he didn't have enough.
Like, he doesn't make enough money from every single video he uploads, so he has to make more.
Oh, man. So, yeah, Carnage, it's good to have you on the show. You're going to chat news and probably some games with us later on in the show, and Eternal's going to show up later on in the show. And I'm, like, my brain is so scrambled right now that I have no idea what to do.
Yeah,
I'm sure you can start with some news.
It has been a stressful. Yeah, fuck it. Well, let's talk news. Are you guys excited about the news of the week?
I don't know. Tell us what it is.
What is this news thingy?
Well, we'll kick things off with what we all know and love. New backward compatible games have been added to the Xbox One lineup this week.
Nice.
Three games, and surprisingly, like, no indies. Like, three full-on retail games, which is pretty cool.
Seems weird saying indies now that it's like, it's really arcade, because even indie developers had a hard time getting through arcade most of the time.
Yeah. And okay, even no that new, titles. And even that new one that Eternal is going to be reviewing, the what was it, Black the Fall, is like by Square. Of course, it's a big, you know, big company, but well, it's kind of like indie by game, Square. Right?
It's
published
the Square Enix Collective.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
which kind of deters it from being indie, because the whole point of indie is that it's originally, at least, that it's self-published and a huge company published it.
Yeah, but you know
it's
what?
It's not
mean?
Really indie.
It feels like an indie game. Like
it
you know,
feels like one, but it's
puzzle
isn't.
Platformer, and yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
it's made by indie developers. Like the game is an indie game. It just has a bigger studio helping to publish and get the game out there. Like I don't think Square had any actual input on the game.
Probably not.
Kind of like what EA's been doing with like the little indies that they're helping like give full releases, shit like that.
Like but Unravel, which is the I think has any other come out of that program yet, or they're still all in development?
I think they're still in development.
Oh yeah, there was another one. I can't remember the
name. Yeah, I remember they showed it at last I think it was like not Fez, but it was like
it was something. Yeah, it was some weird.
It was something F.
It's like, F-E. I don't know if it's Fee or
Fae. Oh, it's Fae.
Some game that all the furry fans out there were probably like,
yeah,
you know.
That was Fae.
Like, yeah.
I'm excited for it because it's from the guys behind Zombie Vikings and Stick It to the Man.
Yeah, Zombie Vikings was all right. Not amazing, but I don't know. You
Stick
really,
it to
you
the
guys
man
really
was incredible,
liked it more,
though.
I really like that one.
A chemical element.
But yeah, backward compatible games. On Tuesday, we had Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon, which is pretty cool. And it's only $5 at GameStop if you're looking
at
that.
Did it not hike up?
Amazingly, it did not go up in price. I honestly figured that one would jump up to like $15.
Maybe they just didn't figure anybody was going to buy.
I don't know. The other one from Tuesday, F1 2014, did jump up in price.
What the fuck?
What? Who's going to go back and be like, yay, now I can play F1 2014?
And the one from three, wow. It's like, why would that go up? It doesn't make sense.
Even crazier is the price. It went from $24.99 to $34.99.
Who the fuck is buying that at that price?
It's... And amazingly, that's like one of the better prices out there for it. If you look on it, I think when I checked on Amazon, the cheapest one I saw was $47.
Maybe they didn't make that many physical copies of the game.
Probably.
Like, that's my only thought process. Still, I wish they would have did 13, because at least that one they gave with gold, so everybody would own it.
Well, now if you have 14, I'm thinking that they added 14 mainly because there's a new F1 game coming out later on this summer, and it's probably helping promote it a little bit.
Maybe.
Although it probably would have made sense to give the free game with gold one, but
yeah, because more people would have owned it and been able to play it and get excited.
And then the newest edition from today was a game with gold title, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition.
Which yeah, I but think I passed up.
Well, wait a minute. Wasn't that one where you could like buy the game with gold was the free like base game, and then there was like some ultra add-on or something that was extra?
Well, the ultra edition was like the one after. It was like the next yearly update.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's a weird situation with all those fucking games.
Yeah, Ultra.
Yeah, like Super Ultra.
Ultra did get a separate retail release, but apparently it also had a just like an upgrade that you could buy separately, which supposedly works with the backward compatible.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if the actual Ultra Street Fighter 4 disc works or not, but I don't have it, so...
I only got the games with gold thing. I don't think I upgraded
it. I don't even think I got it when it was games with gold because I had no interest. I'm not a fighting game fan.
Yeah, I'm not too big into them except for like Smash Bros. And of course, Shiz is trying to get me into Rivals of Aether, so I'll probably get into that.
No, my favorite one of all time was Sonic the Fighters.
Yeah, I wonder why.
And Virtua Fighter 2.
Easy 400.
Yep.
What were like 20 minutes to get the 400 there?
Virtua Fighter took almost an hour.
Yeah, that was pretty quick, too.
But, in legitness, probably Mortal Kombat 9, favorite fighting game. That was actually good.
That was, yeah. I like the old school Mortal Kombat's also.
Yeah.
I'm awful at the old ones. I can't play those ones. I have the Mortal Kombat arcade collection, and I'm dead. Unequalized, if Shiz heard you say that, he would rip your limbs off.
No, I'm not even paying attention.
Rivals of Aether sounds like a Smash Bros. Ripoff.
See, when people say stuff in the chat, and you're going to address things in the chat, you kind of have to bring up what they say.
Yeah, well, I just said what it was. So now, rewind and listen to what I said afterwards to know what I was referring to.
CJ, you dumb bitch. But yeah, GameStop also gave Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition a nice price hike as well.
Probably. Makes sense.
$14.99 up to $24.99.
Hey, Joe!
Wow.
Do you remember something we talked about a few months ago?
We talk about a lot of shit.
Yeah, I know. You're not going to know. But remember when GameStop was doing that whole, or was going to do that whole thing of, like, the summer play days where you could go to GameStop and just get a game and then take it home and then you could play it and then you could bring it back and get another game for like a $60 price. You get access through the whole summer.
Yeah.
It's halfway through the summer and they haven't done that.
Yeah, I'm guessing it never came to fruition.
That's disappointing. That would have been interesting. Well,
what are you going to do?
I just find it funny.
Meh. 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 Anyway, some more news from the week. Let's see. What else happened? Oh, the new Xbox update, the dashboard update, is official. So now everybody has access to custom gamer picks.
That's really awesome, because I love having custom gamer picks.
It's really nice. I still don't know if I want to part with my Trials icon on the 360, and then it doesn't even show that on the One. It's I put the
stupid. You should change avatar. It to your normal your K4 thing with the Trials guy.
Yeah, I might do that actually. Yeah,
that's because it's a pretty cool one.
Like my 360, I'm still have the Trials gamer pick as well. But
fuck me. I just saw some new news that I'm gonna wait. Did you finish the news that you were just talking about? Has that even happened yet? I don't remember what you were talking about.
I'm talking about the new Xbox update. It comes with the custom gamer picks, Mixer co-streaming, new tournament options, and then I don't think this was really talked about, but have you guys noticed the store's been getting kind of like a slight remodel going on?
I noticed that
there was the whole new deals tab and stuff that has extra deals.
No, but like the game lists? I did notice that.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I've been noticing like it prompts me with fucking updates all the time saying, oh, update the store. It's like,
I noticed that.
Shit? Yeah.
I noticed that in games and apps.
Interesting.
It's something new. I don't know what it's updating because it looks the same every time. Like since this update. I don't know.
I just noticed that like the icons are getting slimmer, although I'm kind of bummed because it cuts off a lot of the text, so it's harder to read what the fuck actual items
are. Yeah, but you know why they're doing that, right? There's so many fucking games like nowadays. It's they're trying to keep everything highlighted on the front, of the store, I guess.
Fit more shit on a line. It's just if you're going to narrow everything, give the text like an extra line so that people can read like what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see.
Because now you just basically got to go off the picture for a lot of games, and sometimes that's just not enough.
Especially with the DLC. Good lord.
Oh yeah, true. With DLC, you can almost never tell.
They should really just put DLC all in one picture, and then it opens up into like a subfolder or something. But
for each game, that would make sense.
Yeah.
And then you guys remember the Ultimate Game Sale that happened, right?
Oh yeah.
Did you guys get your Xbox rewards yet from that?
No. Annoyed.
I think I got $9 back just the other day, yesterday or today. I don't remember. I did get some of the reward money back.
None of my stuff has come through yet, and it's annoying.
But that might be from the other sale before that. I don't know. There was a pretty good indie sale before that.
Yeah, remember? There was one right before it too. I'm not gonna get nearly $9 just because I'm only right now. I'm only getting 2% back.
Oh, because you're a cheap bitch.
No, because I didn't have a job until a few months ago. So I wasn't even a one star until just like last month.
Also, your gamer score has got to go. Isn't there a higher tier for the rewards percent?
Or no, they got
rid of the highest. Yeah.
Oh,
the
really?
Gamer score stuff doesn't. It only mattered during that one time where they gave like everybody that was above 100,000 $5.
Oh. But
other than that, it's not really anything.
Well, no, you used to get more money back based on your gamer score, but they changed it so that you get more money back the more you spend in a year. So
yeah.
if you don't spend that much, you only get 2% back. Or if you spend way too goddamn much like me, you get 10% back. And mm-hmm. from the ultimate game sale, I got my reward statement in the email today. $46 back.
Holy shit.
You spent $460.
Oh my God.
Nice. All of last month, yes, I guess I spent $460.
Wow. Oh shit. Actually that's pretty like that's a lot, but still even mine's quite a bit if that's the case of well, I spent a little more than 100 then because I got $2.40 back.
$46 back.
That's almost another full game right there if you buy a brand new AAA game.
I know.
Exactly.
I was like, man, I hope I have money to get the new Rock Band song today, because it was a $3 song instead of a $2 song, and I went to buy it, and I was like, I was waiting to see that I had like two and change or three and change. It's like you have $49. I'm like, holy shit!
You know, it's really great the fact that the deposit day was today, and they must have fucking put my credits in for the sale today after the deposit, so I have to wait until the 27th now.
Eternal's talking about little nightmares. Well, Joe's going to have nightmares tonight after thinking about all the money he spent.
Oh, God. See, I won't have the nightmares. Ashley would if she heard me saying this.
Oh, my God.
Don't tell her. She won't hear.
You spent how much? Well, to be fair, a lot of that was from games that I had physical that I traded into GameStop because they were doing their whole 70% bonus thing. So I just traded games in there, got GameStop or Xbox credit for it, and bought them back cheaper than what I traded them for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you get money back for it on top of that.
I should have probably took part in that. I saw that going on and people were talking about how, you know, you can do good deals with that or whatever. But
yeah, I know there was like a day or two that people were abusing the fuck out of it because like Best Buy and Walmart were selling Plants vs. Zombies 2 for $20. And after the bonus credits and everything, it would trade into GameStop for $47.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. And people abused it. And GameStop shut it down like a day later. They're like, yeah, we...
yeah, they caught on. Exactly.
Way too many copies of Plants vs. Zombies 2.
We're never going to be able to sell all these copies. You've permanently infested our stores with this.
Pretty much.
Horde of zombies. Horde of collection games.
Especially because it's part of EA Access. So, like, who the fuck was going to buy it now?
Yeah.
Speaking of EA Access, there's some more news. They announced both Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2 are going to be coming to EA Access and Origin Access.
Great. Well, guess what? I bought both of those like almost at launch, and I hardly touched them because I fucking play indies all the time. Damn feeling. It!
Well, I mean, I bought Titanfall 2 for like $30 in December, and I finally played it for the first time in the Bean Dive this month. and I didn't even play the actual game. I just launched it, got an achievement for joining a network, and then closed it. I didn't play the game.
Closing things. It reminds me of when Eternal invited me in her favorite game, the Division. No, we didn't go on raids and play stuff. We actually, I just slammed the car door and got an achievement and Bean Dived it. So, yeah.
Well, that's the best way to get an achievement, is just to close things.
I hear everyone talking about this Bean Dive. What the hell is this Bean Dive?
Okay, so on True Achievements, it's when you start, basically you try to get one achievement, or more, you know, minimum of one achievement if you can. If not, you know, it's all right. But you try to like start as many games as you can in your backlog, and it's kind of a way to like motivate you to try to complete, you know, and get a better percentage later on once you started all your shit that you own. Something like that.
I like to take part in it, but I only do there's some people that'll do literally every single game they have.
Like me.
I Yeah, I'm just the person that's like, I'm only going to do the games I'm actually interested in playing at some point.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But yeah, and it's not as simple as just fucking doing that. You had to sign up, and I think the sign up. No, it's not over yet because TA would have warned us.
Well, no, on TA you had to sign up for the event by the 9th or 10th. I think that you can't sign up anymore, but you could still actually start a.
Well, they said
dive whenever, just like you know, regular.
Yeah, I know you could do that, but you had to sign up. I believe that it's still going though because they said that they were going to give a warning the day before they closed the stuff, and they haven't given a warning yet. So it's possible that you can still sign.
Yeah, either way, it's like this was like the official like time to sign up for the yearly one, but you can just start a dive like at any time if you wanted to. So whatever, it's not a big deal. So
it's a fun time though, I said just like 40 fucking times and I hate myself. Anyway, it's okay, mainly a fun way to start and just experience some of the games that you haven't played before yet.
Yeah, that is a good way. Yeah.
I really want to... What's a synonym for just? Because I don't want to say that fucking word anyway. But it's like... It's all that's in my inventory.
Hey, right CJ, now. Did you bean dive Just Cause?
What honestly, about Injustice?
No. I did buy Just Cause 2 in the sale because I missed it while it was gold. So for $2.99, I was like, fuck it. But no, I didn't bean dive it.
Can't go wrong with a $3 game.
Exactly. Especially if you miss it when it was gold.
True.
I think they allow you to bean dive like 3 or 4 times a year. Obviously, they don't want you doing it all the time because it will just make everyone's like TA feed look, you know, it's crazy going on with everything.
Annoying, so and then everybody will move you.
Why do they call it bean dive?
Okay, so the reason is that one of the guys that came up with it is called, his gamer tag is Bean Potter. Mm. So that's pretty much the... Yeah, and then dive is just obviously going into the game, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, the dive is like the dive that the graph has as your completion.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but it's pretty much from that guy, I guess, the one that came up with it.
See, I hear bean dive, and I'm like, that sounds racist.
What? I've always thought it was just like diving into jelly beans. Like what? Fucking bean diving.
You're making CJ hungry again, right? Like going to dive.
I'm starving. Oh, I could use some fucking beans right now. Baked beans. God. Give them.
All the farting. All right.
Let's see what other news happened this week. It was announced that Ron Gilbert's old school point and click game Thimbleweed Park is going to be making the jump to the PS4 August 22nd. So it's cool to see that making the jump. So
for PS4 some reason, I thought that was an Xbox One, like not exclusive, but like console exclusive.
Launch exclusive.
I think it's on Windows 10 also, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's why I said not an
Xbox exclusive,
but a console exclusive.
Yeah.
But I think they're hoping to get it on nearly everything. I think they're talking about trying to get it on the Switch eventually as well.
I mean, it would make sense on the Switch, but yeah.
Very true. Ni No Kuni 2 got a 2-month
delay.
Say
what?
Ni No Kuni. Ni No Kuni 2 got a 2-month delay to January 19th, so it's good to see that get out of the holiday clusterfuck.
What the fuck is that, dude? Is that like a weeb thing? Because that I don't know
about? I don't
know. The first Ni No Kuni was a PS3 and, in Japan at least, a DS RPG.
Okay, no wonder I don't know about
like,
it.
Like, I think Level 5 and Studio Ghibli worked together on that.
Hmm.
Now they're releasing a sequel early next year on PS4. I'm excited for it. Boy. I like the first game.
Okay.
They announced that The Surge is getting a demo next week, so if you haven't jumped into The Surge yet, now's your time to just grab a free demo.
Fucking and try it. It's a really good
game. Now's your time where you can play it and then get and then listen to all the pointers by Joe, because he's got all the pro tips for that game, man.
You don't need pro tips. You just have to know where the fuck you're going.
He told me how not to get lost, like I usually do.
All I had to do was say, Carnage, stop going left. When you exit the med bay, stop going left. Go straight. And as soon as I would say that, he would go left and be like, where am I? I don't understand why I'm getting lost.
It's like I need a fucking GPS for this game.
I'm like, motherfucker, stop going left.
Yeah.
Oh, you told me to go left? Let me go left. Let me check out what's over here.
Yeah.
This doesn't look familiar. No shit, because you went the wrong way.
Oh man, that was awesome.
Oh, Carnage.
Oh yes.
You crazy.
No, they are not, Eternal. Directions are not my strong suit. I fucking use the GPS when I go around the corner, motherfuckers. No, I'm just kidding.
And then the last bit of news I have is that today, Amazon Spain may have accidentally leaked Fire Emblem Fates Complete Edition for the Nintendo Switch. Fates is the one that had the two separate versions on 3DS, and then there was like a collector's edition that was basically both games together, plus some added extra content, like a third extra content. Hmm. Plus it had a season pass, so having a nice complete edition that'd be handy. And it wasn't just like a blank page with like box art coming soon and just a placeholder price. Like, it had a November 17th release date and a full cover art, like Nintendo Switch formatted cover art with Fire Emblem Fates Complete Edition. Like, that's as real as it gets. So I'm thinking Amazon Spain dropped the ball and accidentally revealed this a bit early.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But
I am certainly excited for that.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
But yeah, that's my news. CJ, what was the news you wanted to talk about?
Well, the first bit of news I wanted to mention is just those motherfuckers. They just put Seum Speedrunners from Hell on sale not too long ago, and I bought it on Steam, and now it's coming to Xbox, and I should have just waited because I'm never going to play it.
I saw the trailer to that. That looks pretty badass.
It's a fucking awesome looking game, and now I'm never going to play it on Steam.
It's apparently, from what I read or seen, they were saying it's like supposed to be Meat Boy, Super Meat Boy inspired, like speedrunning FPS or something like that?
Yep. It's first person.
Yeah,
it looks pretty damn cool.
Like Wake and Unreal Tournament and stuff like that.
Yeah, except I'm not sure that there's any shooting. Like, I believe it's just a parkour game.
Yeah, I saw part of the video. It had like that little translocator thing where you teleport and use it in speedrunning. So
yeah,
it looked like a cool concept.
And then the other thing is that Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD is going away from Steam and possibly Xbox and PlayStation as well. July 17th.
Well,
that's not surprising.
It's a shame it's not 5 because that game sucked donkey dick. Oh man.
But yeah. If you really want Pro Skater HD, it's on sale on Steam for 80% off and on Xbox 360 for 75% off. So yeah, if you don't have it, you should get it, and it's not
in
sale
all seriousness on HD was all right. Yeah, Pro Skater HD was all right. It wasn't the best, but yeah, the old school Tony Hawk school.
The only thing confirmed so far, I believe, is just it's going to be removed from Steam on the 17th, but people are expecting it to be removed from everything on the 17th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is on sale on both Xbox and Steam, so it's if you do want it before it's gone, you should probably pick it up now.
Don't know what
you Sorry, got PlayStation gamers, because it's not on sale up there.
Yeah, Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD was decent, a decent throwback to the original, but it kind of had the first and the second levels. I think some of the third levels in the third one was like DLC, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember.
It wasn't bad. Definitely better than the like I said, 5 was really. I think they're not even doing any Tony Hawk games with Activision anymore, or never whatever the company was, Robomoto. I think their Tony Hawk is actually. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I heard that he's working on another project, with a different company now.
Yeah, so his contract with Activision, like, they had to shit out Tony Hawk 5 as quick as they did to get it out before the contract expired. That's why it was so rushed and fast.
That explains it, man. I was so hyped up for that shit.
It was like, we have to release this now, or we can't release it at all.
Yeah.
So
it's not surprising that it was a bad game because of the fact that they had to do it.
Yeah, so they probably mm-hmm. shouldn't have released it at all.
Yep.
But did you guys have anything else you guys want to talk about?
Yeah, I actually noticed, I don't know if you guys saw or watched Conan, but did you see that it had Cuphead on Conan?
I mean, I heard about it.
I saw the video floating around. I didn't get a chance to watch it yet. I watched last night's episode, and they had a Clueless Gamer Arms with Will Arnett Like, I heard him talking about Clueless Gamer. I'm like, oh, this must be the one that everyone's talking about. So I guess the that's floating around on YouTube isn't on the show yet.
Oh, maybe. Maybe that's what it is then. Yeah, that could be it. I just watched it on the internet. Yeah. But, yeah.
I'm going to have to give that a watch.
They didn't show a lot, of course, but it was a pretty funny skit, of course. And, yeah, not bad.
I'm excited for it. Like, I can't wait for Cuphead.
It's been fucking years, though. It's like, come out already. At least it's finally got, what, September 29th? So.
Yeah. I'm so scared it's going to turn into, like, No Man's Sky, where it comes out and everyone's like, this sucks.
As much as I love indies and I'm looking forward to that game, no, don't get me wrong, but I just feel like it's a little bit overhyped at this point.
I mean,
it's been so many years, and, like, the art style's cool and all, but it better have really fun gameplay, too, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I don't know. But
good times. Yeah. Fun for everyone.
Yeah, it'll definitely be at least, I'm sure, you know, a good game. So
probably. Yeah.
And also hard as hell. Apparently supposed to be really challenging. So that should be fun. A lot of rage. A lot of eternal rage.
Eternal saying that she's afraid we happy few is a greater risk of being No Man's Sky.
Oh, well.
Possibly. Then again, like, No Man's Sky just lied about everything that it was, where We Happy Few people just got the wrong idea of what it was, and they've been working very hard to fix that.
I haven't heard much about that game since... I remember you bringing up, like, one update, like, forever ago, but other than that, like, I haven't heard anything about it.
No, they're just working on it. I know they're implementing they're implementing modes to take out a lot of the survival stuff so that the people who are like, I don't want a survival game, they won't have to worry about it as much. So I'm excited to see where it goes. It's so stylish. What?
Yeah, I mean,
We Happy Few, more like We Crappy Poo, am I right? That's funny.
Some of these game preview games, they just like to be like quiet and don't talk about much until it's very close to release. So, like, what about The Long Dark that's coming out in August, right?
Long dark.
I know, that's what I was going to say. Fucking pun. Yeah, you had to go with it. The long dark road or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, well, I'm trying to compile, like, the words that would make that work. Like, it's been a long, dark time since we've heard anything about the game.
You're trying to make the ultimate pun and beat me? What the hell are you thinking? The pun master is here, man. A pun equalized. I came up with that one, by the way, for unequalized. Yeah.
Pun equalized.
Pun equalized.
That's amazing. Now,
the only game preview game I'm really interested in buying right now is Slime Rancher. Looks so good.
Yeah, it's getting close to release too, isn't it?
I think they just released a 0.5 update, so I think it's still got its ways.
Oh, that reminds me also of something. I don't know if you've heard about it, but I think Head Up Games is doing Slime. What is it? Slime San? Did you see that's coming to the one?
Oh yeah.
I think Joe, you were pretty excited about that. I remember hearing you talk about it in one of your previous shows. So I haven't.
Yeah, we had a review for the PC version.
It looks awesome. It looks like Super Meat Boy style and. Right up my alley.
I know it's coming to the Switch in August, and then it's planned for Xbox and PS4, but I don't think they have a date for it yet.
No, yeah. But I saw they just announced Head Up Games was like had an article or something with like five games or more.
Well, that's where the CM thing came from.
Yeah, one of those five, yeah. Five new games coming to the one or something.
No, Slime Sand wasn't actually part of the five new games, but it's
that was in addition.
It's like one that was already confirmed that it's coming.
That was news to me, That was news to me. Yeah,
I think that's been confirmed for a little while that it's like it's gonna come. We just don't know when.
Cool. Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's coming.
That's what she said.
It's long and it's dark, and now it's coming.
We have problems.
And then afterwards, you start to say, we happy few. I don't know.
Oh, God.
No, only he's happy. She didn't come
back. She won't be happy. That's why only a few of them. No, we're trying too hard. Oops.
Yeah, you're trying really hard. Oops. I'm just like, I let them slide out, and then they're good. Well,
everyone just come up with game preview games that have really dirty meanings or sound.
I found it. The head up sent out an email of like their fall 2017 lineup.
Yeah.
Let's see. Crypt Crawler is going to be releasing on Oculus Rift and Gear VR. And then it's TBA for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Slime Sun is TBA for everything except Switch in August. Viking Rage, a VR tower defense coming to Oculus, and then PSVR will be coming. Speedrunners from Hell is September 13th. PS4 is going to be getting Trulon the Shadow Engine and Bridge Constructor Stunts in September. Runbo is going to be hitting PS4 in September. Earth Atlantis is Q3 2017 on the Switch, and then TBA for Xbox and PS4. Super Blackjack Battle 2 Turbo Edition is Q3 for PS4 and Xbox One. Hero Defense is in October, and Panzer Party is in October as well.
Damn.
So wow. Head Up Games has a packed year, and I am excited because they put out good stuff. I'm excited.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm pretty excited for Speedrunners from Hell.
Yeah. A lot of speedrunning style games coming out now. It's like everyone saw Awesome Game or whatever, Summer Games Done Quick, and they're like, oh, let's put out a game that's all about speedrunning, and it'll be good. And people, like, what was it, 100,000 people watching or some shit?
I don't know.
But yeah. No, but they're fun.
SGDQ was like my crack last week.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Yep.
It's so good. I love it. I can't wait for the Awesome Games in, I think, January, they said.
Yeah, January. Yep.
That should be fun. I can't wait. Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Viking Rage. So Eternal's going to have to play that one then.
Oh, man. But we were talking about game preview. I know Ghost of a Tale is another recent game preview. We're actually going to be reviewing that one later in the show.
Okay. I haven't played that one yet, but...
Well, I'll fill you in on it in a little bit, but I guess we'll kick into the reviews now since, like, I don't know, I guess we covered all the news.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, this is going to be a long, dark piece of the show.
Why?
Because it's review time.
We've got four games to talk about today, so it's nothing huge. The first game to talk about is called Iron Cryptical, which we've been talking about all night. Developed by Confused Pelican and Tiki Pod, published by Tiki Pod, released July 11th on PS4, July 12th on Xbox One and Steam for $9.99. The glorious royal treasures of Kryptonia have been stolen. Now the king's washed-up knights must suit up and descend into the ancient palace crypts to return those golden goodies. Get ready for ghoulish arcade action for up to four players in this epic medieval twin-stick dungeon shooter. Weapons at the ready. Prepare yourself for Iron Cryptical. Carnage, I know you have been playing this probably just as much, if not more than me. What did you think of this one?
Oh, I absolutely loved it, especially since it's a twin stick shooter, of course, as you guys, most of you know, that's my forte. And
fucking assuming that everybody knows who Carnage is, big famous Carnage.
Hopefully
over here.
You know what a fucking everyone knows what a twin stick shooter is, otherwise blocked. No. But no, there's some people that didn't understand when I had to explain to them what a twin stick shooter was. Like, it was kind of weird. I was like, come on, let's play Geometry Wars already.
And it's a shooter.
Yeah, because like twin stick shooter, technically, if they think about it, it can be like they could be misguided because, you know, a first person shooter is a twin stick. You're using both sticks. So I don't know. But yeah, it's Iron Cryptical is really fun. It's got a lot of depth for a $10 game. I think I'll leave Joe to the review, but, you know, I'll probably be raving about it anyway. But yeah, I've been
raving about this one. For the people who haven't played it, it's basically like a roguelike Smash TV.
Yes. And I think the developer was also inspired by like Robotron and the scoring system from Bubble Bobble he mentioned. I don't know if you caught that as well.
No.
So pretty interesting. Just
top-down gameplay. You start in a room, and you have a random map every time. You can check the map and see which rooms you want to go to next. You're only ever going to be able to tell what rooms are when you're at the room before it, and then when you check the map, you could see whether it's just a normal room with nothing there, or sometimes they have like a mini game room that's like a 2D platformer where you have to race against some kind of grinding death wall that's going to kill you, collecting cake and money along the way. They have a shop that you could buy power-ups and upgrades and goodies and stuff like that. They have what are some of the other rooms? There's the graveyard.
Yep.
What's the what other one?
Like they have catacombs.
Fuck the catacombs, by the way.
Yeah, fucking long dark catacombs.
Like it's way too dark in there. You can't see shit. Too many walls. CJ's moaning.
And the graveyard. The graveyard has that annoying ghost that you can't kill that follows you around and stalks you all day.
Yeah, only if you destroy the wrong gravestones.
Which I did because I just shoot everything and fucking make it. I do self-imposed hard mode, as Eternal calls it. So just like every game, I make things harder. But no, what else? There's infestation where it's got like a shitload of bugs coming at you.
There's like mud pits. There's tons of different crazy rooms in there. But most of the time, you're just going to be going from room to room. You'll fight a wave of enemies. Once they're gone, you'll fight another wave of enemies. Picking up, you know, food, which gives you score, as well as you build your multiplier with the food. And if you can collect enough of it when it's at max 8 times multiplier, it could drop, like, the special collectible letters where you could spell the word bonus, where they have, like, colored crystal rupee-looking things, which...
Yeah.
Fucking rainbow,
a lot of depth.
Rainbow power might be one of the funniest things in the game.
Yeah, and you get an achievement for it too. But like, I think if the rainbow power, if you get all the crystal colored crystals, you get like that shot goes on until you get hit. So it's pretty powerful if you can keep it going. But yeah, there's a lot of cool score potential. Very score bait, you know, score incentive game, and it's also just easily accessible. Anyone can. You know, you could play on easy, you could play endless mode. There's a lot of variety, hard mode, you know, for all different skill levels and stuff.
Yeah, I've been absolutely addicted to this game. Like, I should have been playing so much other stuff for the show, but I just keep going back to Cryptical.
He had to beat my high score on there on the number one.
On New Game Plus, I beat you.
He did, and well-deserved. But I'll have to make my revenge sometime.
Hey, you're the first person in the world to complete the game, so you have that
bragging
right.
Well, we had the game a little early, but preview, streaming copies, etc.
Yeah.
But
still, you're number one.
I did. I did complete it. Did you get all the achievements though?
I'm only lowly number 4.
Oh, I didn't even know 4 people. Okay.
Yeah.
2 people did already.
2 other people completed it in between us, but I'm happy to get my completion on it, and I'm still playing the fucking game. I can't stop playing it.
I can't blame you.
It is so.
And in fact, if you guys are wondering for gamer score, most of it comes pretty easily, I would say, right, Joe? I mean, for the most part, you can get a lot of them.
It's a really good achievement list. Like, there's a lot of things, like, you know, beating certain bosses or killing X number of enemies, stuff like that. But there's some weird, goofy shit in there too, like collecting a golden poo.
Yeah, saw that one too.
So it's a really solid achievement list, a lot of fun, nothing too extraordinarily difficult to do. It will take practice, but it's a very doable 1,000. And for the $10 this game costs, in my eyes, this is an absolute must buy. Like, this is, in my eyes, this is up there with like Quest of Dungeons and Vertical Drop Heroes of like, this game is going to stick with me.
I definitely agree. Yep.
This is going in the SML Hall of Fame. Riptide GP Renegade.
Say to our guns, but we never did an official review for that.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say, of course, it's still a great game, but it would be even better if they had online. But I could say that we could say that a lot about a lot of games, obviously.
Very true. I'll admit I have not tried the multiplayer because I don't have friends and I still haven't taught my cats how to use controllers.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to try the multiplayer either yet.
But you know,
I wonder if it actually gets harder with more enemies or like difficulty if you stack more players in there or not. But I'll have to try that out sometime.
I need friends. We'll find out. But yeah,
one of my local friends plays it, but he doesn't care about achievements. So whenever I play with him, it's like I gotta like coerce him to try to. I was like, go for this stupid achievement in this game, and like, why? You know, he never understands it. But yeah,
just do it for your friend. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly.
Good stuff. But yeah, for $10, I give it an absolute must buy. It is so good.
Yep. Even if you're not too big on twin stick shooters, I think it's one to. It's easily, you know, it has like the whole medieval style. If you like Gauntlet and like, well, Gauntlet was it twin stick? No, wait, Gauntlet wasn't twin stick back in the day. No,
it wasn't. Oh, I thought you were talking about the Gauntlet, the more recent Gauntlet. Yeah.
No, but I mean, it has like the medieval style and everything. So I don't know. It seems like it's for a lot of different gamers out there. I think it's easily accessible.
No. Anyway, moving on. Next game to talk about is called Serial Cleaner, developed by iFunForAll, published by Curve Digital. It released July 14th on Xbox One and PS4 for $14.99. Serial Cleaner is a story-driven, fast-paced stealth action game characterized by a 1970s theme and aesthetics. You're a professional cleaner. Your job is to clean up murder scenes by disposing of bodies, covering up bloodstains, and hiding murder weapons and other incriminating evidence. When it comes to murders and blood and death and gore, we have to get our friend Cole Martin on this one. Cole, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
People keep ninja joining now that up? This new Skype thing doesn't tell me when somebody joins.
How's it going, Mrs. Rage?
Surprise, bitches.
Ms. Rahage.
Rahaji, like that one guy called me.
Eternal Rahaji.
Rahaj.
Terrible.
So yeah, what did you think of Serial Cleaner?
It was far more enjoyable than I was expecting. I thought it was going to be... It's always a dog. I thought it was
It's a Curve Digital game, so of course it's going to be enjoyable.
Well...
A little bit of ass kissing.
I can't think of any that they fall
flat. The Little Acre, Human Fall Flat? I don't want to fucking hear your voice right now.
I like Human Fall Flat, to be honest. I
Human Fall Flat was one of the greatest indie games of our generation, damn it.
I guess that game fell flat of your expectations. That's our fun time.
This is going to be
You've been here all night.
Just in time for Eternal, right?
Oh shit! Okay.
So yeah, Serial Cleaner.
Don't talk any shit. I don't even know this game, but I know they made it good. Damn it!
One of the first things that is important to note about Serial Cleaner is that the game actually tracks your IP address.
Oh, really? Big brother.
Yeah, it does it for the purpose of adjusting whether. It is daytime or night in the game.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty... Neat. Yeah, it's neat. It's a little mundane. Like, it doesn't have as big of an effect on the maps as you think it would. But it is a feature. It does happen. And Donovan is on a roll tonight.
And there's paranoid people that are scared about it, probably.
And you can go into the settings and turn it off if you are one of those tinfoil hat folks who have issues with IP tracking. You can turn it off in the settings. So I wanted to go ahead and throw that out there in the beginning and get that out of the
Even
way.
Even though literally every single website you go to tracks your IP.
Yeah. It's. I wish
I'm gonna complain about being tracked online on Facebook.
I wish it was more noticeable that, like, I played twice before I even caught on to what the IP tracking was affecting. It's not something that you're gonna just like jump in and notice right away that it changed things.
Well, that's because it's gonna be daytime for many hours.
Exactly. So, like, I played and I was like, I don't know what the big deal is. And then I played it the next day, and I still didn't catch it because in my head, I just progressed through the story, and it was important for these chapters to be daytime instead of night for some reason. Like, it didn't really catch on to me until I was reading. I actually went and searched, why is it checking my IP? And that was it. And I was like, well, now I feel dumb. So
no, I don't think there's something to feel dumb about. That is a legitimate, like, that's kind of a, it's an interesting idea, but I don't really see how you'd notice that.
Exactly. It's just something that kind of sneaks in. And I don't think if they had mentioned the IP tracking as part of a disclaimer at the beginning, I probably would have not noticed it at all.
Oh, it is cool that they let you know right away, though.
Yeah, and you can. It does tell you that you can go in and shut it off from the start. So, there are 20 levels initially in the game. 20 different contracts is how they break the levels down. In between each contract, your cleaner Bob Cleaner is your main character, and he is, as you would expect, he is a cleaner for murder.
That's two Curve games that have your main character named Bob. That's hilarious.
Is it?
Yeah, in Human Fall Flat, your name's Bob.
Oh, wow, I didn't even know that.
He is going to shoehorn Human Fall Flat every chance he can. Wow.
I will, and the little acre, you just fucking watch. There's a little personal vendetta between us with that game.
Bob, so is the music Outcast then?
No.
Bob's over Baghdad.
No Outcast. It's all very 70s and retro theme. Which surprisingly works. A lot of the inspiration, you can kind of pick up that there's inspiration for the killer that comes from, like, say, the Zodiac Killers and Son of Sam that were more popular. Popular might not be the right word. Common? Not even common. Things that happened in the 70s.
Infamous? I don't know.
Infamous might be a little more accurate. But, infamous. So you can see as you progress through the contracts and the story that happens in between, you can kind of catch where they were inspired by those actual serial killings that occurred and work those into hints. The killer, for instance, sends, you know, a letter to the news station, and you can, in between each contract, you can check the radio, you can check the newspaper, you can check the TV, and you can talk to Bob's mom, who he lives with. Somehow not particularly surprised by that decision. but you can speak with Bob's mom and get these little insights as to what the killer is doing in between the contracts when you have to go clean up for him. There are, like I said, 20 levels, 20 contracts. Each contract has a hidden item in it. 10 of them will be additional outfits that you can unlock by picking up clothing magazines for Bob. He will get different outfits that you can change into and wear when you replay later. The other 10 have little film reels that are hidden throughout. Finding those film reels unlocks 10 extra contracts that are based on classic movies from that time period, like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Alien, Clockwork Orange, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, nice.
Even Enter the Dragon. So there are 10 extra levels on top of the contract, the 20 original contracts, and they are based on the classic movies. Let's see. Bob has very few tools to help him with cleaning up, but one of the main ones is that he has a vacuum. And for each contract, basically, there will be a set number of bodies scattered around the area. And there will be a set number of evidence pieces that Bob must pick up and get rid of. and there will be a specific amount of blood. And in order to progress, you have to dispose of all of the bodies. There will either be a body drop area, or Bob can put them in a body bag and load them up into the back of the station wagon. All hell the station wagon. in order to clean up the blood, usually there will be a percentage of it that you have to clean up, but there is an achievement for cleaning up 100% of the blood in every contract. It's not easy.
Have you done that one yet, Eternal?
I did not get that specific achievement, but when I was playing, the achievement list wasn't live, so I didn't know it was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I did get one for cleaning up all the blood in one specific contract, but I probably did it in two or three, but not all 20, just because I didn't know to.
Yep.
It is easy to pass the levels once you catch on to the patterns. All of the cops that are scattered around the levels, they follow set paths. And they will only deviate from that path if they notice, like, something is missing. Like, the bodies and the evidence, they all have evidence cards beside of them. So, obviously, when you dispose of them or pick them up and move them, the cops on that path will notice the evidence card, but no evidence. So, they will kind of get, like, you know, they'll deviate from their path to go investigate. But these are either the most lazy or the most corrupt cops you will ever see anywhere in the history of ever. They can watch you jump into a hiding spot immediately beside of them, and they won't touch you. They won't drag you out of it. They don't give a fuck. They will turn away and forget you were even there. Nice. I don't know. You can hide in a cardboard box right beside of a police officer, and they just right on
sounds
past you.
Sounds just like the cops in New York that are busy going to get their donuts in the morning.
Everybody got
I was about to make a donut joke.
Not even a box of donuts to like I could justify the cops being so lazy if there were some donuts on the kitchen cabinet, you know, on the countertop while they're supposed to be guarding all these bodies. There's not. There's no donuts.
If they don't have donuts, they better have Cheerios because it's fucking cereal cleaner. Oh. No. Told you. It happened.
Never coming back.
Another bad
piece of shit.
You got to clean the puns off your show.
And meanwhile, I just snuck a pun in there that nobody noticed. About another Curve Digital fail. That was great.
So you ignored a curveball there.
No, it was a dodgeball, thank you.
I hate all of you.
You can call it stickball.
Oh man.
I made this lovely little list of notes for what I was going to talk about for this review, and you guys are fucking me up for my notes.
Don't fall flat.
These are the most useless notes I've ever written for a game. Okay.
Just finish this up in 10-second ninja plot X.
Each playthrough of each of the 20 contracts is randomized. Where the bodies are at, where the drops are at, where the body drops are at, where your evidence is at, where the blood splatters is at. The police will be in the same place and have the same path every time, but what you've got to acquire and clean up is different. That is regardless of whether it is daytime or nighttime. Every time you fail, you start over, it's clean slate, do it again.
So it's like kind of like a roguelike in a way, right? RNG.
Well, no, because you stay on the same contract, and you can just keep trying to do the same contract over and over, but the placement is all that's different.
The more and more you talk about this game, the more and more pumped BMX Plus I am for it.
You're trying way too hard.
How so? Oh, okay. Wow, I missed a pun? What the fuck? What's wrong with me, guys? I failed you all, pun masters.
You know it's like a really bad pun when even the king of bad puns doesn't catch
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to sneak. I'm trying to stealth ink my way through all of these puns.
Shut up, Red.
I'm just going to hang up on him soon.
Even though
don't swindle me, damn it, Joe.
Oh, yo, you got good ones though. I'm not gonna lie. Oh man.
Hey, if you pre-ordered, which is going to be too damn late for anybody that listens to this tomorrow, if you pre-order cereal cleaner, you get the swindle for free.
Yeah, that's a nice deal.
But if you're listening to this on YouTube later, sorry, fuck off, you missed it.
Yeah, get fucked, you piece of shit.
Although they'll probably do another big curve pack bundle or something. They've done a couple good ones, I know, right?
Yeah, the instant indie collections.
Oh yeah, I think you were raving about that for like $20 for like a shitload of games or whatever, 10, I think it was.
When those go on sale, those are insane.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I have notes.
Sorry.
Fuckers over the head of my notes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I forgot where I was at. Even though the body placement and stuff is randomized with each contract, the number of bodies for each contract, how much blood you have to clean up, and the number of evidence pieces there are to pick up remains the same. So it's just that its placement changes each time. And again, if you want the completion, you got to clean up all the blood anyway, so it doesn't matter to you. I mentioned that the cops all have their own tracking; they follow the same paths. There's also a visible cone, which is their perception. So basically, you can walk right behind these guys, and they don't care. They don't know you're there. You do make a little bit of sound, and you make more sound when you're carrying a body than if you're just walking normally. You can trigger them if you get a little too close, but you can get ridiculously close to the cops, and they're oblivious. They don't care. It makes it a little easier, but it's still really easy to fuck up.
Because I'm the one having all the audio issues tonight, and CJ's the mic that still fucks up during the show.
Damn, now I lost my train of thought again. God damn it, even with notes.
Come on, we're on the final station.
So anyway,
right
for...
It's the final station. Now you got K4 karaoke as well. All right.
Holy shit, man. CJ. God damn, what the fuck is going on with your mic?
Eternal's going to rage if she can't finish her review.
I am. Too late. I'm raging. Ah! Okay.
We got to clean up all this shit that's going on. So let's try to bring this all back to the beginning. For $14.99, what are your thoughts on this one?
The game is metric fuck tons of fun. My only complaint is that the ending is just terrible. It just feels like such a cop out. The final level, you're not actually cleaning up for the last two contracts. And I don't want to give away any spoilers, but they require the same stealth that you have to use throughout the rest of the game, but you're not actually carrying on with the cleaning. And the final level actually puts you against the killer. And you must use your stealth to trick him into confessing that he was the killer because he's trying to frame you for being the killer.
Well, this seems a lot like a spoiler.
Yeah, it does.
No.
It does really seem a lot like one.
Because there's a twist to the ending, and I'm not going to give it away, but I was really dissatisfied with it. And
it was aliens.
Colonial Marines, actually.
I played the ending three different times.
Oh, this is the game you were talking about on Twitter.
This is the one I bitched about on Twitter. I played it three different times because I thought that couldn't possibly be the end. And it was. And I basically just put the controller down after time number three and I went, the fuck is this? Why? I was so mad.
Oh, wow. That sucks.
And I was like,
what, did he wake up and it was all a dream?
No, worse.
Well, don't tell. Let us find out the letdown of an ending on our own.
I mean, the rest of the game was so good, but I think that's why I reacted to the end the way I did. I was like, this is such a cop out. It's so bad.
But so ending aside, what's your verdict on this?
Buy it. It's fun. It's really enjoyable. It's a good puzzle. It's, you know, the stealth is really well done, even though the cops are really stupid and lazy and easy to get around. You know, it's a good game, and it's definitely worth the $15.
Cool. Well, you're going to stick around because you're going to be joining me for one more review later on in the show. But next game to talk about is called Ghost of a Tale, developed and published by Seath CG. Released June 30th on Xbox One Game Preview for $19.99, previously available on Steam Early Access as well. Ghost of a Tale is an action RPG game in which you play as Tilo, a mouse and minstrel thrown into a perilous adventure. Through stealth and cunning, you'll be able to explore the secrets of dwindling heights, keep, and navigate its dangers. This is an impressively good-looking game for being in a game preview. It's very much a third-person action RPG with heavy, heavy, heavy stealth elements. Like, I'm still fairly early into it because I've been playing way too much Iron Cryptical, but, I've been instructed to treat this as a preview the way it is, given even when you start up the game, it says that the build that's on Xbox right now is only about 45% of the game.
Oh, so, really? I thought I read somewhere, is it a third or no?
I asked him in an email, like, you know, how much of the game is yet to come. He told me the preview is about 45% of the final game. It should be treated as a preview since the old build that is currently up on Xbox Store doesn't really do the game justice. So
I see.
The Steam version of the game, I would assume, is further along, but the Xbox game preview is still earlier because it just released on Xbox Game Preview. It's going to, you know, it's going to take time. What's there, though, is really, really solid so far. You are a mouse who wakes up in a jail. It's kind of aimless at first, and then you'll notice a note that's basically it sneaks you a key, and you have to get out of the jail. There's not too much of the story there yet. But clearly that's stuff that's going to come down the line. The gameplay is really solid, though. Heavy, heavy stealth elements where you're trying to sneak through the jail, avoiding these giant guard rats that are in the way. Kind of like in Serial Cleaner, they'll have... they don't have like a displayed vision of like a cone of vision, cone of sight, however you want to call it, but they'll have a little alert meter where if you're walking up or making too much noise, the meter will start to fill up, and if it fills up all the way, they'll notice that you're there and they'll come after you. And again, there's no combat, so you have to basically run and hide. There's a lot of hiding in like treasure chests and cupboards and buckets and whatever else. And it, like, when you're hiding in a bucket, the little mouse peeking out and looking around, it's really cute. It's a really, really good-looking game, which surprised me how good it looks this fairly early in development still. Once you get out of the jail, it opens up into, like, a more wide-open city area with a lot of exploration, collectibles to find, different outfits that you can collect and have a full set. There's a ton to do in there, even this early in the game, but because it's in game preview, there are going to be some hitches and bugs. I have had a handful of like hard crashes with the game where it just freezes up and kicks you back to the dashboard. Treating this as a preview, it has a lot of potential, a lot of promise. The gameplay is fun. The camera could, like, it'd be nice to have like a field of view setting to, like, you know, give a better. I can't talk today.
I know what you mean.
Words are hard.
This has been a stressful day, so I'm like trying to just.
Don't worry, the puns will make it less stressful.
What is it? Depth of field, the field of depth.
In there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Whatever though. It is. But just to get like a better look on things, it just seems like there's a lot of the small bells and whistles of just, you know, control options and display options that just aren't there yet, which I'm sure will come down the line. I don't want to give this any kind of like solid verdict because of how early in the game or how early in development it is still. But for $20, I think it's definitely worth keeping an eye on. What I have played of it, it's a beautiful game, great characters, great writing so far, really funny too. It's enjoyable. I would probably wait to see how it progresses with further patches before dropping the $20 on it. And I know even with some of the other game preview titles that we've seen, they've gone on sale before coming out of game preview. Mm-hmm. So this one might actually drop in price for a sale here or there down the line.
Yeah.
But I think this one has the potential to be something really, really cool. So
that's good to hear. It does look like a cool game. I seen the videos and screenshots, but it's kind of weird. There's no combat though. That kind of makes you does it feel like you want combat or doesn't need it? Or
I don't think it really needs it. As long as you have to realize this is a very stealth heavy game. It's possible that there is actual combat later on in the game that I just haven't got to yet because I admit I'm still fairly early into it. I've only probably put maybe two and a half, three hours into it. A lot of that was, you know, I had a couple of crashes along the way, had to replay some sections, but I don't think this game necessarily needs combat. As long as you're good with a stealth game, I think you'll really enjoy it. A fairly open world-ish stealth game with RPG elements, you don't see too many of those, so it could be pretty solid.
I can only name one off the back of my hand.
Which one?
Sniper Ghost Warrior 3.
That's a sniper game. That's a shooter.
It is a stealth game, though. I was thinking of
Sticks, the two Sticks games.
Oh, on yeah.
One. Yeah. Are those open world?
But that one has combat. But that's interesting. I mean, if it's going for the full stealth approach, like you're saying, then they're, you know, probably focusing on stealth. So they're
doing. What about that Origami or whatever game that I don't remember. It's like Arami or something. It was a really good looking one that had the guy had the red cape.
Oh, I think that one's only on PS4, isn't it? Origami. Something like that. I think
probably because I never heard of it.
Yeah, it was something like Origami.
Good stuff.
I don't know how to spell it, but whatever. I was trying to find it on Steam.
But yeah, for $20, I wouldn't drop the $20 on it yet. But as long as it progresses as well as it is, and it's, you know, if the rest of the game is as solid as the time I've put into it, it's definitely going to be something worth grabbing later on down the line. But it's just so hard to give a concrete verdict on something still so early in development. But absolutely worth keeping an eye on because this could turn into something special. And again, it is really good looking game for how early it is.
Yeah. I wonder what engine that is, you know?
So cute. I don't remember. No.
It looks really good though.
Anyway, last game to talk about tonight is called Black of the Fall, developed by Sand Sailor Studio, published by the Square Enix Collective, which feels weird to say on this show, published by Square Enix on the SML podcast. I feel like big time now. I don't know why.
We're moving up in the world around here.
Anyway, it released July 11th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $14.99 after decades of toil. An old machinist? Mechanist? I'm terrible with that word.
You were right. Yeah.
I'm terrible with that word. It just never feels right when you say machinist. plots his escape from communism through manipulation and scheming. Along the road, he befriends the most unlikely creature, an abandoned robot. Can they solve the puzzles and flee this bleak world together? CJ was supposed to cover this one, but Steam fucked up for him. So, Eternal, what did you think of Black the Fall?
Well, I didn't get to make any notes.
That's fine.
Well, then go off your fucking heart. Joe can help you a little bit.
Yeah, I put a chunk of time into it. I probably played halfway through it earlier today. I think it's a really atmospheric game.
Yeah, I actually completed it. All the achievements, all the secrets, everything. It's incredibly harrowing. That might be the word I'm looking for. It's just very dark and broody and gloomy, and the whole narrative and the concept of it will weigh on you pretty heavily.
Kind of like Deadlight.
Sense. I mean,
yeah, very similar to Deadlight.
Makes
one
sense.
One of the very first achievements that you can even get is for working yourself to death. And you literally hop on a stationary bike. You know, there's a metaphor here for, people fueling a communist machine and the regime and all that is...
It's an endless cycle.
Yes.
I see what you did there.
So you actually just climb onto the stationary bike that is they use these bikes throughout the factory to power various stations, and the very first one you come across, you hold X for 15 straight minutes.
Yeah.
And that's how you work yourself to death and get the achievement.
Wow, that's a long time that you have to hold the button. If you accidentally let it go, do you have to redo the whole 15?
I wasn't brave enough to find out. I would assume yes, because when I played it first, I wasn't playing for the achievements, and I got off the bike and got back on it a couple different times because I thought if there's a place to get that achievement, here would be it. But I didn't pop it, the first time I went through. And then I went back and did it where I held it for the full 15 minutes and I popped it. So I would assume that yes, but I don't want to put that in stone. I could be wrong. I could have just never hit the 15 minute mark the first time I was playing through. So who knows?
No.
That's a good question. I don't have your answer. I'm sorry, CJ.
It's a scary thought, though, of accidentally letting go at 14 minutes and be like, no! Yeah,
I wasn't pushing my luck on that. I literally just sat there with my finger on the X button and trolled through my
phone. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Sounds like Clicker Heroes all over again.
But it is just the one achievement that is that way, and then you carry on. It's very puzzle heavy.
There's,
again, yeah, Carnage is screwed.
I'm screwed.
he automatically can't play it.
Right. There's no radios, though, so he's already got a leg up. And you only go straight, so you can't fuck up there either.
Yeah, 2D.
Unless you're going for the achievements to find the secret areas, in which case you're screwed.
Yeah, a little bit of deviation on those.
Nice.
Yeah. The puzzles are surprisingly intuitive. As you progress through each one, you can generally, there's guides and you can do it in an hour or whatever, but for the most part, you can walk into each section and spot the pattern of what you should do fairly quickly. I'm not a puzzle guru by any means necessary, and I was just blowing through the game and I was like, wait a second. It's something that you're going to look at and be like, okay, I know I need to move this through here. There were only maybe one or two that really get kind of convoluted, and even still, it felt like the game got easier as you went through it. The later puzzles are just outlandishly easy. oh, put your companion here and climb. And that's that. That's the puzzle. Oh. That's the
whole I'm thinking a lot of that comes down to the fact that you've, like, when I first started the game, even that very first room, like, I was like, what the fuck do you do? Like, the game just drops you into the world.
It does. There's no tutorials. There's no button guides. There are...
There's no text. Like, it's just... No. It is no all done visually.
No voiceovers?
Nope.
Either? Oh, wow.
It's,
no what?
It's all told no voiceovers, visually.
Right? Yeah.
No. No dialogue at all. There are...
I mean, there's technically dialogue in there, but it's like newsreel footage.
Yeah. Or when they yell, when you get caught by the guards, they yell something, and it makes the turret shoot you.
And you'll get shot a lot.
Yeah, you get shot and you obliterate into like... a puff of black smoke and blood, and that's that. Bye.
Hence the name.
and then if people haven't caught on yet, it's a 2D kind of platformish adventure puzzle adventure game, very similar in style to like things like Limbo or Inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought from Deadlight. What I've seen.
Yeah.
Deadlight was the biggest one that I thought of when I played it.
Yeah, it really looks a lot like it.
It almost has the same name.
Not the zombie thing.
Like,
you know?
Black, the Fall, Dead Light, like, No Light, Darkness, like, what are these kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I know, that's what I was
You tried so hard, and you just couldn't do it.
I tried so hard, and I got so far, but in the end, it didn't matter. No.
I knew you were going to do this. I'm going to burn you down.
I knew better.
He had to fall, black to fall, to lose it all.
Oh my god. In the end. Nice one,
funny thing is, since we're talking about songs, every time I think of Black the Fall, I think of the Breaking Benjamin song, Break My Fall.
Okay.
Yep.
Come on that one, Joe.
Had the same response. Cool. All
right.
Thanks for sharing, Joe.
You're welcome.
I kept struggling.
It's my show. I'll say what I want.
I was going to say, welcome to interrupting Eternal's reviews. Now
she's really gotten fucked up tonight.
Scheduled programming.
Part two. Well, at least this time she doesn't have notes to lose track of.
That's true. Yeah. She's already losing track on her own.
We're all guilty of it.
Yeah. Okay. You know that little train scene in Inside Out where the train just falls off of the track and into the pit? That's my brain. Right into it. Gone. Dip. Bye.
Why couldn't you guys like talk shit at me when I was struggling? You couldn't just make jokes and crack. You just let me flounder and stammer on my words. But with Eternal, you're like, oh, we're gonna crack jokes the whole time and fuck with her. With me, it's like, suck it up, asshole. You're gonna just struggle. Deal with it, you fat piece of shit.
Yeah, we all just let you talk the entire review, no interruptions. In Eternal, both of her reviews are like an interjection at least once every couple seconds.
So yeah, anyway, 2D puzzle platform adventure game.
The little summary is a little misleading. You don't actually get your companion until halfway through. You're already out of the factory by the time you get him.
Oh, wow.
But it is a neat little mechanic.
False advertised.
It's a little robotic, almost like a dog, but you can fold
like
him
thing
into...
from Half-Life 2? The fetch dog?
No, I never played Half-Life
2. Oh, I thought you were going to go with Portal. Oh. Yeah. Companion.
I lose points on my gamer card because I haven't played that, but you can fold him up into like a little cube and climb onto him to get over top
of
obstacles.
Companion cube.
Companion cube. It's Portal.
But the problem is that once you folded him up and
y'all motherfuckers need to shut up and let her talk.
We're just having a good time, Joe.
Carnage, you're a bad influence.
I know.
You're teaching CJ horrible.
He interrupts me enough on his own.
It's true. I do.
This is needing courage. If you fold up the little cube dog thing, you have to go back for him some way, somehow. He cannot get himself out of that position. So... Hmm. That adds a little extra element to it, because you can overcome an obstacle, but then you've got to figure out how to go back and acquire your robot again. if you're going to get
at the end of the game, at the very last puzzle, you could just be like, "Screw you, robot," and leave.
Like, fuck that. And then Peta will come after everyone.
I do want to throw out, there's an incredibly creative puzzle in the beginning. Not necessarily, it's about a third of the way through. But you have to have a really good set of headphones
in order to
get through. Oh, the great, great.
You are in a pitch black pipe.
It was too dark.
It's pitch black.
Yeah, Carnage wouldn't even get that. That was a throwback to one of Returnal's
older games. I know it.
I'm
boring you now.
That was a tough puzzle because, like, even when you're going into that section, there's like a little sign on the fence that has a headphone icon. I'm like, what the hell is that thing for? And then I walked in and it's pitch black, and I'm like, oh fuck me.
Yep. Oh, wow. You have to listen because there is steam shooting through that pipe, and up until this point, you have learned very much so to stay the fuck away from the steam because it will kill you.
Ah.
And is this section of the game long?
No.
Thankfully. No, you only have to pass, I think, four or five sections. But you can, as you get closer to the steam, you can hear it stronger on one side, and then as you get further from it, it fades on the other side. So you have to listen to how close you are, and then listen for it to stop before you pass it. And you have no idea if you've done it right or not, as long as...
Until you see daylight.
Yeah, and then you move on from there. But it's creative, but then at the same time, I tend to...
Sounds like it. Oh.
I was trying to make a long, dark joke, and they fucking ruined it by saying it wasn't long.
Motherfucker.
7-hour review, I'm telling you.
You can never turn down our volume, damn it. We're always here.
I do worry. I tend to think of games as far as accessibility and being available to gamers with disabilities. So obviously, if you are hearing impaired in any way, this makes the game more difficult for you because you obviously have no visual cue. There is not even a subtitle that says, you know, water rushing or anything to let you know.
Subtitle that says, that says increasingly loud.
Yeah, like there is absolutely nothing to help you out in this section if you are hearing impaired. And I think I've mentioned before, but one of the symptoms of my RA is that I have like a loud buzzing sound in my right ear when my ear is swollen. And so I did struggle. I managed to get through it in one shot, but I had to go incredibly.
You know, it would have been an amazing addition if for hearing impaired people, they added the subtitle, and as you got closer, it got bigger. Like, it just grew in size.
Oh, God.
But some visual cue, like maybe if they had even done like I don't know the name of the little icons that you use for music that, you know, grow and shrink with the sound. Anyway, like something like that to indicate that, you know, it's getting louder or quieter.
I know what you mean.
Just for somebody who may be playing with a hearing impairment, even if it's not a severe one, could really struggle with this.
You're really fucked if you're deaf.
Yeah, if you're
that's
deaf.
Exactly what she's been trying to get at for the past 4 minutes that you've been interrupting her.
She said this multiple times. We already know it's rough.
Yeah, that I could definitely see how that puzzle could be an issue for some people. To the game's credit, it is only that one section, and it is fairly quick. And there's a good chance you could, like, just luck your way through it. And just say, fuck it, and charge through. And then one of the other things that I could give the game credit for is the fact that, like, none of the puzzles repeat.
No, they don't.
Like, the game is... One of the downsides for the game is that it's a very short game, but it stays fresh the whole time. They're not padding it with repeated shit and backtracking and... fetch quests and everything else.
No filler, right?
Yeah. There's no collectibles.
That's good.
Like I said, apart from there being secret areas, but even still, it's straightforward. You move from left to right the whole time.
If there was backtracking, it would have to be called Black the Rise as well.
I think Iron is trying to dethrone me as the pun master today.
And he's failing miserably.
Mm-hmm. I've always made puns. I'm just doing it more.
And you're doing terribly. But yeah, overall, I gotta try wrapping this up before you guys drag it on that much longer. But I gotta say, it's not your fault at all. It is very clearly the other two people.
This is a very long, dark review.
Very, very clear. You already did a long, dark pun earlier. You're just repeating yourself now. You were doing
what the game doesn't do. That's the theme of this episode.
But yeah, the game, honestly, there's not much replayability once you complete it. Like, once you find all the collectibles, once you beat the game. Well, not collectibles, but like the hidden areas for the achievements.
Oh, yeah.
If you do happen to miss one of those areas, of course, there is no backtracking or anything. There is chapter select.
Yeah.
But I strongly recommend waiting until you've completed the whole game, because this is where I fucked up earlier when I was like, oh, I realized that I needed to go back to the beginning to get the one achievement. So I just went to chapter select thinking I would get it, quit out, and go back and continue my game. And I didn't. I lost all my progress and I just started again.
Oh, shit. No, that sucks, but good
again,
to know.
You know, just make sure that if you've missed anything, just fuck off and finish the game and then go back and clean up instead.
Nice.
And the game isn't very long. I think most people, like if you're using a guide, I know people are putting up videos that they're getting through it in like a little over an hour. If you're doing it without a guide, it will take you longer trying to figure out the puzzles.
Yeah.
If you're cheesing it with a guide, yes, you're going to beat it in an hour and probably 15 minutes because of that 15-minute achievement. Because you're getting all the answers. The joy of this game is trying to figure out how to do everything. And thankfully, a lot of the puzzles, like, you'll just see like something that's yellow in a gray area that you're like, oh, I have to interact with that somehow.
Yeah.
But
it all stands out. If you sit and just take a couple minutes to really look at it and catch on to the few areas where you have passing for bosses or whatever, not even bosses.
Yeah.
The few guards that are around or like the mech when it's chasing after you, you can catch on to it really quickly and just pick up the pattern and move on.
Yeah.
The only thing that I had issue with, apart from it being short, which was a double-edged sword, because like you said, you didn't repeat anything, but less than 2 hours. Somehow, I triggered a glitch about two-thirds of the way in, and my character actually went invisible.
Huh.
All you could see, I had got the achievement for the beanie hat, and so of course he puts on the little beanie hat and wears it for the rest of the game. So all you could see was where he had the beanie hat and the laser pointer glove. And it was just a floating beanie hat and laser pointer.
I'm sorry, Joe, but I guess you became a ghost of a tail. I'm sorry, it happened.
That didn't even make sense.
Well, you're a ghost.
That was really, really far-fetched.
I could go.
Don't worry, all of them have been pretty far-fetched tonight.
Especially the ones about dogs. Oh, wait, we didn't talk about dogs, though, anyway, so I failed. Oh, man, anyway.
God damn it, K4.
Joe is hovering over the kick button right now, right?
Yeah.
Right.
You're all permabanned.
You're the one that invited him.
And you're the one who doesn't know how to stop with the puns that aren't good.
Well, at least I'm trying, Joe.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that you keep trying.
the hitch with going invisible, it was still possible to do the platforming thanks to the fact that I had the beanie hat on. Like, if I hadn't had that, it would have just been the floating laser pointer, and it would have been about 10 times harder. But I did have the beanie hat, and it helped give a little bit of some kind of visual indication as to where my character was supposed to have been standing. And I tried, you know, force crashing the game, reloading, restarting, going back to the menu, all this different stuff. Nothing kicked that out. And for all that I could find, I was the only fucking person that happened to.
Oh, wow.
You reinstalled the game? And I did take
screenshots. Yeah, I took screenshots and everything of it. Because
yeah.
I was the only person it happened to.
That's
crazy.
Wow.
It did finally, toward the end of the game, right before, I guess, what you would call the last chapter, there was a cutscene. And following that cutscene, my character was back to normal. But that part, I'd already done all the hard shit, and it didn't matter anyway.
That's weird, but at least so you got
through it. It was an odd quirk, but I don't think it was something that's plaguing the game for everybody, and I just did something weird, which is probably normal, and that's part of me being me.
You broke this.
Yeah, it's something they can easily fix anyway, I'm sure. It's just like a little technical glitch.
Yeah, I'm sure it was just a one-off thing, but it happened. And so I feel like it's one of those things you should probably mention, because somebody would be like, I heard about this game, you guys said it was great, and I bought it, and it glitched.
Yeah, motherfuckers tricked me. Warning.
Yep. There's your warning.
So
it might, lied to me, if feller. You do something crazy. I'd tell you what it was I did if I knew, but I don't. I broke the game.
So anyway, for $15, my verdict on this comes down to whether or not you are okay with dropping $15 on a 2 hour or less experience. Technically, right. It's going to be cheaper than buying the new Fast and Furious movie, which was also really good. But I think if you're good with a short and sweet game, it's something that's definitely recommended, highly recommended. But I think the general audiences out there might think $15 for a 2 hour game is just a bit too much to swallow and might wait for a sale. But if you got the money to spend, like if you got $46 back on Xbox rewards from the Ultimate Game Sale, go for it, because it's a really solid game. It's just very short. What do you think?
I'm a little more inclined to say buy it as it is, but that would be me and my preference for really story focused games, and I tend to really want those strong narratives, and because this focuses on such a strong emotional story, I'm a little more inclined to say, yeah, go ahead and buy it. On sale, it's an absolute, you're an idiot if you don't pick it up.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, because,
you know.
Yeah.
I can understand where other people would be like, oh, God, it's only 2 hours. Why would you bother? To be fair,
that's why I said the general population
to run in an hour too. Yeah. So,
but like you mentioned,
get him started, please. God, don't get him started.
No, but like you mentioned before,
that game was great.
Like you mentioned before, like it's similar to Inside and Limbo, and if people like puzzle platformers like that, you probably recommend this as well, right? Eternal,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
If puzzle platformers are already your thing, again, you're a jackass if you don't pick it up, even at $15.
Nice.
And, yeah, and then there's the beauty where, similar to games like Limbo, where every now and then you're like, I want to fucking play Limbo again, and you'll blaze through it in an hour. You could do the same with this, because you'll know how to get through it. You'll have that knowledge of how the puzzles work, and you could just enjoy the experience, you know, when you're bored one day. And
you could be the next Awesome Games Done Quick Black the Fall. You could be the first speedrunner on there.
You just jump everywhere? Holy shit, speedrunners are going to wreck that game.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know what? Eternal found a glitch. I mean, she already found a way, a tip for the speedrunning community. It's a time saver, right? I don't know. Find all the glitches, break the game, and speedrun like hell.
But anyway, that is it for the reviews. I love how this episode was going to be like super short, and you guys just derailed it into well over an hour and a half.
It's always Eternals reviews too that this happens. It doesn't matter.
Seriously,
like, I feel like I'm being sabotaged.
You're being targeted.
I am fucking so frazzled from my computer issues today, struggling to find words in my reviews, and you guys just sit there, fucking crickets going off. I'm like, I can't remember like field of view or view field, or like a what depth of field. I can't string a goddamn sentence together, and it's just no support at all. Eternal starts talking.
I interrupt you though. Like, uh-huh. You're the host of the show. If I try to talk over you, that's just shitty.
Yeah, we don't want to talk over Joe.
Yeah, but Eternal kept no problem doing it too.
As soon as she starts talking, the puns start a flying. Sons of bitches. Anyway, that is, I guess that's it for this episode. It's been a crazy one for sure.
It's been a lot of fun.
Carnage, Scott, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. Eternal, thanks for dropping by as well to hang out for the reviews and to cover CJ's ass with
where the fuck's my thanks for showing up.
I'll thank you when you do your fucking review.
Am I still doing a review for this game at this point? It's been 25 minutes on this.
No, you are no longer doing the review for Black the Fall because we just did it.
Well, you know how you've done it with Neurovoider, and I did a second one anyway.
You asshole.
I haven't eaten in 20 hours. I don't want to hear it. I'm dead.
Well, then you need to play Iron Cryptical so you could look at all the food items.
Seriously. Oh, my hungry. God. Iron Cryptical is so good.
Yeah, it really is, guys. Definitely pick it up also.
But anyway, thank you again to everyone for hanging out in the chat and for dropping by on the episode today. That is it for this music, this show. I know I haven't really announced the music ahead of time for a while, but Dot Emu just released the soundtrack on Bandcamp for Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap, and I'm going to play some fucking Wonder Boy this episode.
Very
nice.
Because that soundtrack awesome. Is so good.
Wonder Girl. It is thank so, you very
it's
much.
Wonderful. That was and a good one too.
The craziest thing is like the game soundtrack itself is like 32 songs, but the Bandcamp release has like 86 or something like that. It's just so many extra bonus tracks and unused tracks. Like for the $5 or whatever that you're paying for it, you're getting a shitload of music. So the link is going to be in the description. Hit that link up, grab the soundtrack, go grab some awesome games that we talked about, use those Xbox rewards and buy all the fun shit. Scott, do you have any final words to end the episode?
I mean, not too much. Otherwise, you probably already know. If you guys don't know, feel free to follow me at twitch.tv/KARNAGE and on Xbox Live, K4RN4GE. And maybe I'll do some Mixer at some point. I'm not sure, but you know, Twitch and Mixer love. So, but just kind of nothing much else right now.
Carnage always finds a way to whore himself out.
All the puns, all the K4 karaoke. I mean, what else can you ask for, right? No, but I appreciate
more
it, guys.
Rage.
It was fun.
That's
yeah, all the rage
for,
as well.
Thank you very much.
How could I forget? Eternal Rage is here, but yeah, it's been fun. Definitely
has it been
it
fun, or has it been punderful?
Oh man, Joe had
that.
Joe had to
don't worry, the show's already done recording. Punch. He ended it right there.
I don't believe him.
He didn't say editing. I don't trust it.
Nice,
punderful.